like Namo Tassa treatment. That is a tradition of Theravada. Before we start the preaching, we recollect the virtues of the Buddha. And to remind us, this teaching handed down from the Lord Buddha.
Highest respect for the Tathagata.
And what is the highest respect for the Tathagata? What is that? Please answer me. This? Huh? Mangala? What's that? What's the higher respect? Huh? Even though.
Follow his teaching.
Huh?
Follow his teaching.
Follow his teaching. Huh? So the Buddha says, but Ananda, yes, if not that Ananda, that the Tathagata is respected by all the sandalwood, by all the flowers, by all the incense stick, and by all the light. Yes, if not that Ananda, that the Tathagata is respected, venerated, worshipped, and honored in the highest degree. But Ananda, whatever bhikkhu or bhikkhuni, layman or laywoman, abides by the Dhamma, lives uprightly in the Dhamma, walks in the way of the Dhamma, is by such a one that the Tathagata is respected, venerated, worshipped and honored in the highest degree. So you must pay attention, mind what the Buddha said to you. And the question comes. And this is the Buddha's wish for you. Before he passed to Parinibbana, this is what he expects for you to do. His sincere wish for you to follow. Now coming to the question. How to walk according to the Dhamma? How to abide in the Dhamma? How?
From the body heart?
Can you understand? How to walk in the way of the Dhamma? How to live, abide by the Dhamma? Pati. So before Buddha, Buddha walked 3 months, didn't use his psychic power, with his weak body, he walked 3 months to Kusinara. And on his journey, he constantly told his disciples. He said that such and such is virtue, such and such is concentration, such and such is wisdom. Great is the gain of concentration when it is fully developed by virtuous conduct. Great is the gain of wisdom when it is fully developed by concentration. Utterly freed from the taint of lust, becoming and ignorance is the mind that is fully developed in wisdom. So Buddha constantly, frequently preached this to his disciples before he passed into Parinibbana. So these are the three training. These are the three training in the teaching of the Buddha. That is Sila Sikha, Samadhi Sikha, and Panya Sikha. The training of morality, the training of concentration, and the training of wisdom. These three training comprise the teaching, the whole teaching of the Buddha. What is morality, sila training? Everybody knows. All of you, as a Buddhist, you know. As a lay person, you know. We undertake 5 precepts or 8 precepts. Now a question for you: why should we practice morality? For what purpose? Yes. Very good. So not to harm others and not to harm ourselves. And that is another word, to protect oneself and to protect another. In Atta Rakita Sutta, in Atta Rakita Sutta, Buddha says, he says that those who engage in misconduct with the body, in speech and mind, do leave themselves unprotected. Even though a company of soldiers may protect them, still, they leave themselves unprotected. For what reason? Okay, for what reason? They are accompanied by a great army of soldiers or bodyguards. But Buddha said, they still leave themselves unprotected. For what reason? Because the reason is that protection by the soldiers and by the bodyguard is external. It's external, not internal. So what are the protection? What are the internal protection? Your own morality. Your own morality is the internal protection. So the Buddha continues to say that. Those who engage in good conduct with the body, good conduct in speech, and good conduct in the mind will protect themselves, even though they have no company of special soldiers or bodyguards to protect them. So if you have morality, wherever you go, don't worry. Don't worry, you are protected by your own morality. You must have this self-confidence. And not only when you are protecting yourself, you also protect others. You provide security, you provide safety and protection for others. Anyone who associates with you, they feel very safe, very secure, because you will not kill him, you will not steal his property, you will not tell lies to him, you will not utter harsh speech to him, you will not do any backbiting, breaking his friendship with others, and you will not commit any sexual misconduct with his wife and all his daughters. So he feels very safe to associate with you, because you provide safety, you provide security for him. So you also protect others. And you also provide the harmony in the world. Nowadays, the world is in disaster. People killing each other. There's no harmony. So when a person gives morality, he also provides the harmony in the world. So these are all the positive signs of keeping sila. And there are also five blessings. Five blessings by keeping the five precepts or by keeping the morality. Nowadays, many people, when they come to monastery, when they see monks and nuns, they always ask for blessing. So the monks have to give the blessing. But do you think the monk can really give you the blessing? So if somebody says no, the monk cannot give you blessing, then when you come to temple, why you ask blessing from the monk? The monk cannot give you blessing. The monk only can give you blessing when you yourself keep morality. If you do not keep morality, the monk, not to say, even a Lord Buddha cannot bless you. Please remember this point. The Buddha's teaching is very scientific. remove all the bad things and we go to the temple asking for blessing. That is not possible. And this is against the law of the karma. The law of the karma, what is the law of karma? When you throw a ball on the wall, what happens to the ball? Rebound. So, when you do the bad thing, the bad thing rebounds. When you do the good thing rebounds. This is the law of karma. So the Lord Buddha cannot bless you. The monk also cannot bless you. But sometimes the monk follow your wish to make you happy. So you yourself must know, I'm not blessed if I do not keep my morality. You yourself must understand. But if you want to bless, there are five blessings which you cannot gain from the monk, but you can gain by keeping your morality. What are the five blessings? Number one, your wealth will increase if you work diligently. Everybody works for the wealth. So if you keep your precepts and you work hard, Buddha says your wealth will be increased. Will increase. This is number first blessing. The second blessing, you will have a very good reputation. Your name and fame increase. So you will have very good reputation and you are respected by others. People also like to do business with you. So your business also increase when you have the morality. Suppose there are two men come to you. One without keeping morality, one is keeping morality. Which one will you do business with? Of course, with the one who keeps morality, because he will not cheat you. So, by keeping morality, you will have a very good reputation. Now, thirdly, you have a very strong self-confidence. Wherever you go, you are not afraid of anything. That self-confidence is very, very important because nowadays, many people, especially Westerners, they live in fear. They have so much fear. When I was in Europe, inside the aeroplane, I met with one Jewish. He was very, very rich from Iran. He told me, I am very, very rich, but I have so much fear and worry. And he told me, you have nothing, but you look so happy. So many people have a lot of fears and worries. So by keeping the five precepts, you will have full confidence. You will have no fear. This is the third blessing. And this the monk cannot give you. Number four, you will have a very peaceful bed. You will have no regret and remorse. If you keep your morality, during your dying moment, you feel very serene. There's no fear, no remorse. You are sure you will go, you will reborn in a happy existence. So you will have a very happy death. This is the fourth blessing. And I'm a fifth blessing. At the picking up of the body after death, you will reborn in a happy state. This is also a very high blessing that the monk cannot give you. Only your morality can support you to be reborn in high state. So these are the five blessings if you keep morality. and get another extra bonus by keeping the morality. What is that? What is that? Extra bonus.
Dish for your command.
Very good. Huh? Excellent. Wonderful. It lays down the foundation to develop concentration. When a person, when he does not keep morality, his mind is very gross. Huh? Very wild, very gross. With such gross mind, how can he concentrate on a subtle single object? He cannot. That's why Angulimala, you know Angulimala? Angulimala, Angulimala had killed 999 persons. So you can see his mind. His mind is so broad, so cruel. So after he met with the Buddha, he picked up his quality and he started to observe the morality. Only then he strived for Dharma and he was able to become Arahant. So in order to go one step advance, concentration, you have to perfect your morality. That morality make your mind become more gentle, more subtle, and more refined. And you are ready for developing concentration. This is the extra one. Okay, now we come to concentration. There are three trainings, Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Now we come to concentration training. What is concentration? Concentration we call one pointedness of mind or unification of the mind. You apply your mind evenly, rightly on a single object without distraction. It's called concentration. And there are two types of concentration. One is called the concentration can reach a very high degree up to Upachara Samadhi, neighborhood concentration, and another one, Apana Samadhi, absorption concentration. And there are many ways to develop concentration. For example, the most common one is Anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing. Concentrate on your breath, single object. Then you keep your mind evenly, rightly on the single object, which is your breath. Then you breathe in, breathe out naturally, mindfully, aware, without losing your breath, without losing your object of your concentration. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Gradually, you will develop very deep concentration. Until you reach the jhana concentration. What is jhana? Many people heard about jhana. What is jhana? The meaning of jhana is closely contemplating on the object. It's called jhana. This one meaning. The second meaning, burn out all the five hindrances. Burn out all five hindrances. It's called jhana. You know five hindrances? Five vivarana, kama chanda vivarana, sensual pleasure hindrances. The second one, Vyapada Vivarana, ill will. The third one, Udacha Kuntucha Vivarana, restless and remorse. Number four, sleepiness, sloth and sopper. Number five, doubt, Vijicha Vivarana. When you concentrate on the breath, you doubt. By concentrating on the breath, can I attain jhana? How can I attain jhana? By just concentrate on the breath. So you doubt about your own practice. This becomes a hindrance, the hindrances for you to really make progress. So, once you burn out this fire, you burn out this fire, sensual pressures, ill will, restless and remorse, slow and suffer, and the doubt. Once you burn out this fire hindrances, you attain jhana by concentrating on a single object. So once the mind becomes fully concentrated, it becomes extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. That's why the Buddha said, oh monks, in the Samadhi Sutta, Satya Samyutta, the Buddha said, Samatha, Samadhi Bhavita, Bhikkhave, Samahito, Yatha Buddham Pajanati. Oh monks, develop concentration. A concentrated mind sees things as they really are. What are the things they see as they really are? What are the things, what are the phenomena they see as they really is? Let's say, the body, our body, is composed of millions of kalapa. Nowadays, the scientists already found out this body is composed of billions of particles. But scientists find out the body is composed of billions of particles through microscope, through different types of equipment. But for a meditator, for a practitioner, with deep concentration, you pay your attention, you pay attention on your body, you will see millions of kalapa arising, millions of particles arising and passing away in the body. Okay, now you try to see, close your eyes and see, penetrate into your body. Can you feel the particles arising and passing away in your body? Try and feel. Do you feel the particles arising and passing away in your body? Most of the people cannot see. I believe, I trust that most of you cannot see. The body is composed of millions of you cannot see. And scientists have to use equipment in order to see. So this concentration is similar to the magnifying glasses or to microscope. Through microscope, you can see many things in the water. The water, there are many bacteria in the water. Through microscope, you can see. But for a practitioner, through the deep concentration, the mind becomes so powerful. You can see things which you have not seen before. And because we do not see things as they really are, we are still very deluded about what is actually this mind and body. What actually exists in this mind and body. And Buddha also mentioned, whatever kind of feeling, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, they are subject to change. They are arising and passing away. They are vanishing, and they are impermanent. So, with concentration, you when a pleasant feeling arises in you or unpleasant feeling arises in you. With the concentration as a base, you try to contemplate your unpleasant feeling. You will see that unpleasant feeling rise and pass away very, very quickly. Very, very quickly, and you're just aware of it. Arising, passing away. And constantly oppressed by this arising and passing away, you feel it's a type of unsatisfactory. It's a type of terror, very terrible. It's a type of suffering. And what is arising and passing away? What is subject to destruction? What is subject to suffering? You cannot say, it's myself. So you come to understand, with the base of deep concentration, you come to understand, whatever feeling arises in you, it's only impermanent, it's only suffering, and it's non-controlling entity, it's non-self. And this is the goal of the Dharma, and gradually you will reach Nibbana by constantly contemplating anicca, dukkha, anatta. So when a yogi, when a practitioner, with a deep concentration, he pay attention to his body, he sees only particles arising, passing away very swiftly. And when he pay attention to his feeling, he sees his feeling arising, passing away. When he pay attention to his mind, he sees his mind arising, passing away, only passing away. Then it comes to his mind. All these formations appear to him as disintegrating, as impermanent, as no shelter, no refuge, as disaster, as bubble, as mirage, as illusion, as empty, as void, as non-self. So now he starts to see things as they really are. All are disintegrating, all are in terror, all are void, empty, non-self. And the Buddha told Bhikkhu Moggallaja, he said, "Oh Moggallaja, let him look on the world as void." Then Moggallaja, be mindful. He may escape the grasp of death. For the king of death find him not. Death looks the world in this way. In what way? They look the world as void, as empty. And the king will never find. The king of death will never find him. So this is the benefit of developing concentration. And Buddha also said, let me ask you a question. Why you and I still roaming and wandering in this long course of samsara? Why?
Craving?
Any other answer? Why you and I are now still roaming and wandering in this long course of rebirth? Delusion.
Payback time.
And the Buddha said, Buddha said in one of the sutta in Satya Samhita, oh monks, because of not penetrating and not understanding the four noble truths, you and I have roamed and wandered through this long coast of round of rivers. So the answer is not penetrating and not seeing the four noble truths. And Buddha continues to say, O monks, develop concentration. A concentrated mind sees things as they really are. Then Buddha says again, what understanding, what he sees things as they really are. He sees things as he really is. This is suffering. This is origin of suffering. This is cessation of suffering, and this is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. So from what Buddha say, we come to understanding, by developing the concentration, we see things as very are. And these things are four noble truths. And when you fully understanding the four noble truths, your mind is liberated. Your mind is free from the lust, free from the taint of lust, the taint of becoming, and the taint of ignorance. And you will be completely liberated from the realm of ignorance. So to summarize, Buddha wished you. His wish for you before he enter into Parinibbana is to walk in the way of the Dhamma by practicing sila, morality, samadhi, concentration, and panya wisdom. By practicing this three training, finally you will reach the other side, and you will be saved forever and attain final cessation. So in this auspicious day, I hope all of you can devote your time to practice these three trainings for the peace of you and for the peace of the world. Any questions?
Earlier you mentioned when fully concentrated, you can see things as they really are. But then if we read this Siddhartha of the Buddha, the Alarakalama and the Tarakutta, they are perhaps in conclusion, but they don't see things as they really are.
Because it does not, because they do not change to Vipassana.
That's right. So you need Vipassana.
Of course. Yes. But if you start with Vipassana without concentration, just like I instruct you to see the particles, none of you can see. So without concentration, your wisdom cannot be fully developed. And for Alara Uddaka, they have very strong concentration, but they don't know how to proceed to Vipassana because there's no guidance from the teacher. So the guidance from the teacher is also very important to make progress. There are four factors to become stream enterer. You know? The four factors to become stream enterer. Number one, expose it with the wise. It means that you must have a wise teacher to guide you in order to become a stream enterer. Number two, you are doing now what I said. Listening to the Dharma. Listening to the Dharma conduces. It's very conducive for you to attain stream enter. Because only by listening to the Dharma, you know how to practice. Without listening to the Dharma, how you know how to practice? You don't know how to practice. Then number third factor, wise attention. We call Nyoniso Manasikara. Wise attention. The best, Buddha said, the best, the the best wise attention is to pay attention to see anything is impermanent suffering non-self. This is called wise attention. Number four, practice accordance with the Dhamma. Practice accordance with the Dhamma. So these four factors, if you fulfill these four factors, you are bound to become strength and suffering. Okay, any other question? No question? Okay, no question. We will end here and let us share the merit by listening to the Dhamma talk and by today, Dana and Sila make an inspiration to become enlightened ones. Please follow after me. Idame punya,
Idame punya,
Nibbanasa,
Nibbanasa,
Pacchayo,
Pacchayo,
Bodhu,
Bodhu,
Idame,
Idame
punya,
punya,
Angkawakaya,
Angkawakaya,
Waham Bodhu,
Waham Bodhu,
Mama punya. Sabasatanam,
Sabasatanam,
Vashima,
Vashima,
Tesabeya.